Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. I'm your host, Jim Dolan. About this time of the year, you should be feeling a little cool, a little chill outside for most people. That's because Thanksgiving is coming up here pretty soon. So we've got some shows for you about Thanksgiving. We're going to start off with an episode of Let George Do It, Cause for Thanksgiving. This is from 1950. And we follow that immediately with a Great Gildersleeve. And he's having Thanksgiving dinner way, way back in 1942.
Personal notice, danger's my stock in trade. If the job's too tough for you to handle, you've got a job for me, George Valentine. Write full details. Standard Oil Company of California, on behalf of independent Chevron gas stations and Standard stations throughout the West, invites you to Let George Do It. Cause for Thanksgiving, another adventure of George Valentine.
Hello?
Yeah, Mr. Valentine.
What? Hello?
Quiet. I'm 10 years old.
Lieutenant Riley, is that you?
Well, it's not Tom Turkey. Listen, my friend.
You sure it's not? What's that 10-year-old stuff? Hey, you've been jumping the gun on the cranberry sauce.
All right. I'll say it straight. I'm phoning on behalf of a little boy 10 years old.
Well, that's better.
No, it's not. It's worse. Said little boy could no more write you a letter than he could hope to choke. I doubt if he can write.
What's the matter?
He can't talk either.
Huh?
You heard me. I said he can't talk. Oh, I don't mean there's anything wrong with him, or maybe there is. I don't know, but... Look, Valentine, get over here, will you, right away to my house?
Well, sure.
But I warn you, friend, this little boy never heard of Thanksgiving. If you're going to help him, you'd better bring your brass knuckles.
Lieutenant.
Oh, Mrs. Riley's got him in there trying to coax him to eat. But the only time he'll take a bite is when she's turned her back.
Oh, is he? Where'd you get him?
One of the boys in my department picked him up early this morning at 3 a.m. on the waterfront, the warehouse lane.
Oh, I see. A little on the tough side, huh?
Oh, they all are down there, like a bunch of dirty seagulls and scavengers running loose. We can't even find out who he belongs to.
Maybe nobody. And only 10 years old.
Listen... This sergeant of mine in a squad car nearly runs him down. See, the kid was racing across the empty street, not even looking. Well, Mike gets out to help, naturally. The kid wasn't hurt, but he swung on him, trying to get away, scared to death and clawed and scratched. And then Mike realized the kid wasn't talking. Not a sound.
Now, that's the part I don't get. Clear it up, will you, Riley?
Well, Mike couldn't even find out where he lives, so we brought him in. My friends, that boy hasn't spoken one single solitary word since. Hardly a noise out of him. Oh, except maybe the cry a little. Only he stops that when you look at him.
But, Lieutenant, he's probably a mute.
Oh, two doctors were out from juvenile hall to look at him. One of them said the kid's faking, but they both agree there's nothing wrong with his vocal cords.
What's the other doctor say?
Psychic shock.
Oh, you mean he can't talk because of something that happened to
him?
Well,
they're not sure. They say it'll take time to be sure. I've arranged for the hall to take him over, to try to find his family, if there is one, to feed him and...
But that takes time, like you say, days, weeks.
Now you get it, pal. And the doc says it'll help him a lot better if we could work fast. Because the most likely thing is that last night he saw something. Was mixed up in something that scared the blue blazes out of him, and he was running away.
Little before 3 a.m. last night, huh? I saw something.
Yeah, but what... Nothing happened down there. Nothing was reported. My department can't just go bursting into a... Huh? Well, hello there, Sally. Hello. You finally ate something, did you?
Such big eyes. He listens, but he doesn't listen.
Yeah. Come on in here, son. Come on. These are friends of mine, see? Ah, now, wait a minute. Don't jump like that. I'm not going to bite you. Come on in here.
Skip it, Riley. What time is it?
Huh?
1:45, George.
Oh, good. Hey, look, kid, how about coming with me? I've got an extra ticket to the big football game. Well, I'll get you to meet Big Mike Merilewski, the All-American. Maybe you can even sit on the bench with the team, huh?
George, he's just more frightened. He's crying.
You see? You can't get him interested in anything.
But a boy in a football game? I think the doctors are...
Oh, it's Thanksgiving. I mean, a kid belongs in somebody's home on Thanksgiving. Well, are you going to just sit there, Valentine?
I know, Softy. I know. We've got work to do and fast. Come on, Brooksy, take the kid's hand. We're going to go straight at this, at the waterfront. Warehouse Lane. Great place.
Plenty of freighters tied up, but no people.
Ship Chandler's. You must have spent some time around there, haven't you, kid? How about the candy store?
You're wasting your time, George. It just seems to get more and more tense.
Yeah. Well, this is where he was picked up, right here.
Oh, relax, honey. Don't just sit there
running
and look...
from right to left, so he must have come from this way. Okay, let's move on a little. Cobblestones by the empty warehouse, huh?
George, look at him. It's this direction, all right. George, look out for that boy in the street.
He's on the right side of the street, Jack Knowles.
Ooh, lovely neighborhood. I wonder if that boy would know anything about our friend here.
Hey, that's an idea. Wait a second.
Hey, you, Shorty.
Oh, you want to argue about it? Yeah, Jack Knowles.
Come here.
Hey, let go of me.
Hey, Shorty. Shorty, wait.
George, come here. I'm having an awful time. Hold
on. Oh, look, kid, stop it, will you?
He wants to run, too, George.
Yeah, now easy. That's better. Yeah, he'll get away from us if I try to catch up with that Shorty. Look, Brooksy, look, there's a settlement house over there at Murphy's. You know him. Take the kid over there and wait for me, will you?
Sure, George. Maybe they'll know something about
it. I doubt it. 3 a.m. last night. But farther out there on the pier is where it happened, whatever it was. So me, I'm going to take it on foot by myself. Shorty, I got you this time.
Get your paws off, Jerk Nose.
Cut it out. I just want to ask you something. You know that other kid I had back in the car there? You know his name?
I never seen him before. I ain't done nothing.
What's your name?
I don't know. Let go.
You kids running loose out here by the ships last night?
I was up on the moon eating cheese. Let me go.
Oh, brother, great tribe, aren't you? Stick together. Never tell anybody anything. Oh, now, look, kid, I'm not a cop or anything. I just want
to
find...
Hang on to him. Hang on to him, man. Don't let him loose.
Oh, no, you don't, Shorty. I got you.
Don't let him loose. There we are. Hold him and let me go through his pockets.
Hey, wait a minute there, Skipper. What are you talking
about? Box of cigars. Left him out on deck. Stolen.
Fine and stolen.
He hasn't got anything.
No. He's too big, anyway. You're not the one.
Not what? Come on, Shorty, get out of here. You'll help.
I told you, Jerk Nose. Yeah.
Water rats. Same the world all over. All the same. Good cigars, too. First mate, give them to me so I let him stay uptown.
Wait a minute, Skipper. Wait a minute. Were you looking for another kid?
No. Yes.
Something stolen last night, you mean, huh? During the night?
Cigars? No, it was afternoon, a few minutes ago. Come up like rats soaking the horses. I tell you, it's awful. Marseille, it was my last port. Same thing, same the world over. Nobody stops them. Nobody can stop them. Kids.
Hey, wait a minute, Skipper. This your ship tied up here?
Yeah, leaky old tub full of potatoes. Frenchmen like potatoes.
Uh-huh. Looks about ready to sail. Were you here last night?
What are you peddling? Dope, punch boards, cheap liquor?
No, listen, will you? You have trouble with kids getting aboard, huh?
Characters like you in every port, too. Dock loafers always got a deal. Sure, I have trouble. That's customs, pier watchmen. Nobody can stop them. You see those big rat guards? Right over them, like monkeys.
Uh-huh. Did some kids get aboard your ship last night?
No. Now, stop pestering me.
Are you sure? Around 3 a.m.?
Fight was on the pier, not the ship.
What fight?
Oh, that's the pier watchman. He's the one spreading the story. A couple of bums, I guess. I don't know. My old deck watch was sound asleep, of course.
You didn't see it?
No. Yeah, I don't know. Woke me up. I yelled shut up out of my porthole, went back to sleep.
Ah, hello there, skipper. Wait. I'm so glad to catch you.
Huh?
Oh, what now? A sailor comes ashore again.
I'm just going to take a minute. It's about a woman, you see. Oh, that I see, and oh, so nice. But right now, I want to...
Get what I mean? Doc Loaf was all trying to sell something. Now it's telephone numbers. Go on, Baldy, get out of here.
Wait a minute. I've seen this guy before.
Huh? Well, it's not mutual. Skip, if you just listen
to
me...
His name's Salvori, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I've seen him in lineups. Are you around here last night?
I beg your pardon.
Oh, it's a great neighborhood. Salvori, the big operator. Last trip, he was here selling raffle tickets for a three-wheeled automobile.
Oh, but escape a lesson.
Thanksgiving, they say. Well, thanks and good night. You pester him. I'm going backwards.
Yeah. Look at that, would you? Is that what you wanted to see us about, Salvori? That crowd down at the pier?
Something's happening.
No. I got no deal to make.
Come on, let's take a look.
Afternoon, friends.
What's going on?
Don't suppose you have 50 cents or so? See, an old pal of mine, see, he was going to buy me Thanksgiving dinner, you see.
Never mind that. What are those men doing down by the water?
Fishing, sort of. 50 cents is about all it would take, though, you see. Now, this old pal of mine, he would have spent $5, you know, mince pie and the works, you know. Said so last night.
Hey! Hey, down there, hey!
Now, listen, Buster, did you say last night?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Yeah. Hey, sailor!
Now, it seems to me that... Hey, look out there!
Salvori!
Well, he left in a hurry, didn't he?
Body, skipper! Got a body!
What?
Just fishing him out. Guy floating with a knife in him.
Guy float? Yeah, with a knife.
Holy smoke.
Yeah, see, that's what I tell you. You see, a pal of mine, he was going to buy me a Thanksgiving dinner, see? Only instead, it looks like he got in a fight about 3 a.m. last night, I figure. Yeah, got murdered, see? Tell me, how's about the 50 cents?
We'll return to tonight's adventure of George Valentine in just a moment. When new RPM motor oil was developed in the laboratory, it was subjected to the most rigidly controlled tests that modern research could devise. And it proved tops, the oil that doubles engine life between major overhauls due to lubrication. The next question was, would it live up to these tests in your car? Tonight you'll hear the answer from the crews of two actual test cars in the heart of downtown San Francisco. Following is a special transcription made during the road test period. We switch you to test unit number one and research supervisor Carl Watson in San Francisco.
We are making rather slow progress heading west along Market Street. Test unit number two is behind us in the traffic. We're driving under the same kind of stop-and-go conditions that you do, the toughest kind on engine wear. It's our job to see if new RPM will back up our laboratory findings. I'll switch you now to research engineer Bob Birchall in unit number two. He'll tell you about these special cars and the data we are recording from the instruments. Go ahead, Bob.
This is Bob Birchall. The engines in this test car and test unit number one ahead of us are both equipped with irradiated piston rings, just like those in our laboratory test engine. They also have Geiger counters attached so that we can hear and record wear as it actually takes place. We are making a comparison test. Test unit one is using new RPM, but in this car, we have a well-known conventional oil in the crankcase. It is one of the best premium type oils. Naturally, I can't reveal its brand name. Now, I'll hold the microphone closer to the Geiger counter, which detects minute particles of metal as they wear off the irradiated piston ring. Hear that rapid clicking? That means a comparatively high rate of engine wear. Now I'll switch you back to Carl Watson for a comparison with new RPM motor oil. Number one.
This is Watson again. You hear that slow click of the Geiger counter? That is an outstanding low wear rate count. It's new RPM under the same condition type oil you heard about a moment ago. Day in and day out, mile after mile, the counters have clicked off the same story. The results we got in the laboratory tests on new RPM motor oil are checking out on the road.
Proved in the laboratory, supported in severe road service. That's new RPM motor oil. The oil that cuts in half the wear rate of critical engine parts, doubles engine life between major overhauls due to lubrication. Try it. Sold with a money-back guarantee of satisfaction at independent Chevron gas stations and standard stations, where they say and mean, we take better care of your car. Back to tonight's adventure of George Valentine, a boy 10 years old who's been scared to death, who either can't or won't talk. Well, if your name is George Valentine, you begin to understand the reason when you see the neighborhood in which he was picked up by the police. You understand a good deal more when you see that the body of a man has been fished out of the water off the pier. Yes, now it's certainly a case for Lieutenant Riley.
Oh, but what a case. They don't get solved around here, my friend. They just happen.
Okay, Riley. Did your boys pick up that bum, the guy who sniffed?
Oh, he won't know anything. Nobody does. The name of the corpse is Lefty Sims.
Well, you seem to know something.
Well, everybody knew him. He's a common thief, that's all. A few big jobs, but nothing to steal down here. He usually worked the city. This wasn't his territory.
Your doc says the time's about right. Been dead since last night, around 3 or 4, maybe. Killed and tossed in the water. What about the pier watchman? He must...
He covers 5 warehouses. How could he see anything? And everybody off duty for the holiday.
Hey, wait a minute.
Huh?
Riley, what's this stuff?
Where the fight happened? It's a spot of blood, I figure.
No, look. Look closer.
Hmm?
Powder. Little pieces of broken glass.
What? Hey, here's some more of it.
Yeah. Oh, doctor.
Huh? Doc, come over here, will you?
Yeah, sure, Lieutenant.
You thinking what I am, Riley?
Yeah.
What is it?
Hey, here, take a look. White powder. And on a pier where boats...
No, it's not.
Huh?
Talking about dope, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so.
False alarm, huh, Doc? Well, that might explain why there was a fight, what was going on out here.
Something of value. Yes, of course. Smuggling, you think, huh? Peddling? Or...
Yes, I'll do the thinking, Doc. Oromycin,
perhaps. You know, something like that. I can run a test.
Oromycin.
It's valuable. Didn't I say that? Drug. Drug of some kind. Cure people instead of making them sick. Worth a lot more than dope, too. Easier to market.
Yeah, same thing. Only more in a big time.
Did that watchman say there were any kids on the pier last night?
Hmm? Valentine, I'm trying to get the doc here to talk English.
Did the watchman see any kids?
No.
Okay, so long.
Wish I could help you, Miss Brooks.
It's all right, Mr. Murphy. Come on, sonny.
The settlement house here is pretty badly undermanned. A cleaning woman will be back tomorrow. She might know something about the boy here. But in this neighborhood...
Well, thanks again. Come on, sonny. Car is parked over this way.
Brooksy!
Well, it's about time.
Come on,
you got...
get out of the street, you and the kid.
What?
Never mind any place. Here, duck in the alley. What? In this neighborhood, Angel, I don't want to.
Who was that?
I don't know. Packing crate, you can't see. He's gone now.
George, what's happened? What's going on?
Simple, Brooksy. Nice, simple case. My guess is the kid here was an eyewitness to murder. It'll be a simple case if he isn't murdered. Please talk. Please tell me, will you? What did you see last night? Look, nobody's going to hurt you. I won't let them. But you must have seen things like this plenty of times before, kid. I don't mean murder, but you grew up in a tough place. And you're not going to do anybody any good if you just...
Yes, he just cries. George, I'm taking him home. You can solve your own fancy waterfront murders.
Okay, I'll leave him alone. But which one are you covering for, kid?
Only a few men around that pier last night. Which one is that important to you? All right, maybe you've given me the answer at that, without talking.
Says you. You admitted you saw your old pal Lefty, didn't you, before he was murdered?
I tell
Come
you.
Come on, Riley, along the deck here.
Now, look, I promised me a nice Thanksgiving dinner, you see, Lefty did, see? Came past walking up to the pier and never come back.
But didn't he say who he was coming out to meet? Didn't he?
Here we are, Riley. Let's go in here. Hey, Skipper, this your cabin?
What? Oh, no, mine's forward ways. It's all right, it's owner's cabin. Nobody ever uses it.
Just want a place to talk.
Already said all I'm going to say.
Come on, you too, Skipper. The name is Stogue, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Here's the other one. Bring him in here, Sergeant.
Let go.
Mr. Salvori. Now I have to stand rats on my ship, eh?
Picked him up in the neighborhood, Skipper.
That's all for now, Sergeant. What about the kid, Valentine?
Oh, he's all right, Riley. I left him in my car out on the street.
So because my name is Salvori,
Shut
you
up.
Think...
You were around here last night, too, weren't you?
Always around. That's stock loafers with deals.
Yeah, but don't try to cover up so much, Skipper.
What? Now, listen, all of you. We can't find anybody else with a chance of being out here last night but you three.
I was on my ship talking to this peddler.
I said don't cover so much. Salvori's a friend of yours.
Sure. Everybody's a Salvori's friend.
Except the law. Now, look, this is a smuggle case.
A what? Not on my ship. I've never brought it.
Lefty, the man who was killed, knew his way around the city. Salvori, you're the big waterfront middleman. And Captain, you've got a boat.
See what I mean? Cops, they got brains.
Enough to spot an ideal setup for smuggling. Captain Stogue, you bring it in. Salvori picks it up, gets it through customs, and Lefty fit it in someplace in the city.
I think you're crazy.
Somebody was waiting a little while ago to waylay Miss Brooks and a kid who was an eyewitness.
Brooks?
Skipper, you're too fat to run down an alley like he did. Sure, I heard his steps. Sniffy just shuffles. So tag, Salvori, you're it. Because now I know why you ran the first time when we saw the body. It's what proves you guys work together.
No, I know you're crazy.
Because on the pier earlier, you came up yelling to the skipper something about a woman. Well, the woman must have been Miss Brooks. You'd seen her with a boy. The witness the two of you have been trying to find. Sure, Skipper, you were looking for boys when I first met you, too, weren't you?
My cigars. That's all, my cigars.
Never mind, Salvori. The kid out there is going to give us the whole story and a lot straighter than you ever would. Because I finally figured out his whole story.
I never been mixed up in an off smuggle.
Sure, and never in a fight or used a knife. Why did you do it? Lefty try a double cross on you, too? You're under arrest for murder, Salvori.
Come on, I'll take him out for you, Riley.
Let go.
You take the other two.
But I'm not mixed up in this.
Material witness and accessory for you, Captain.
No, please, no.
Come on, out the door. Meet you on the pier, Riley. Hey, you, Salvori, wait a second.
Nobody's going to arrest me.
Salvori!
Grab him, you idiot! Hold him!
Come on, there he goes, down the plank.
Yeah, headed farther up on the pier, up toward the warehouse.
Salvori! You think the sergeant saw him?
Yeah, sure. He'll get him all right. Well, that was a nice act.
Yeah, good idea. Now, come on. Car's back the other way.
Yeah. Hey, did you notice that empty cabin on the ship?
Yeah.
Grease stains on the pillow? Yeah, empty, huh? I'll bet Salvo's even been traveling with the skipper. Sure, it's a smuggling ring, all right.
Still confused, aren't you, Riley?
Huh?
Oh, it was originally a smuggle, sure. But never mind. You'll never prove anything on this bunch unless you catch him in the act. And, Riley, we're going to do just that.
Well, it's the only car in the street.
Uh-huh.
We're close enough. But it's been 5 minutes already, Valentine. If this hunch of yours is going to pay off, it better start.
Gotta give us time to run the other way, hasn't he?
I don't see how you can...
Oh, no, I didn't expect a gun.
Come on around the side of the building.
That's my car, Riley. I hope somebody's going to pay for it.
Hold it. There he is.
You're wasting your time, Skipper. The car is empty. You hear me? The kid's uptown. It was a trap, Skipper.
Be careful. He's got the corner of the building there to duck behind.
The only one who'd stick his neck into our trap is the one who did the stabbing, right? The one who has to get rid of the kid, the witness. So we don't even need to ask the kid now, do we?
Look out! I got him.
Lieutenant Riley's still at the hospital, George. He says he'll get his confession from Captain Stogart.
Keep it down, will you? The kid's in there. I'm trying out a system. We write each other notes. What about the smuggle stuff, those drugs? They searched the ship yet?
Yes, they've already found some drugs hidden, but I don't understand. What did you say, writing notes?
What don't you understand? How the smuggle worked? With a thief, a middleman, and a skipper involved? The drugs that couldn't be sold in this country except through the proper channels, but would sell for a fortune in Europe or on the black market?
Oh, you mean it was to be smuggled out of the country?
Mm-hmm, that's right, Brooksy. And Lefty, the guy who was killed, stole the drugs and delivered them last night. But he got a knife instead of a payoff. And the kid saw it.
George, you mean the boy talked? He's all right?
I guess he will be. See, I was afraid he was, well, maybe the skipper's son or something.
Yeah, I know. That psychic shock, his refusal to talk.
But he's not. He's only known him for a few weeks. Kid didn't even know where he fitted into the plan until a few days ago.
Oh, George, for heaven's sake.
See, he doesn't have any parents, Brooksy. Just a waterfront kid. But not nearly as tough as he acts. What's missing in the smuggle setup? There's customs on the other side, you know. Who gets the goods into the other country, off the ship?
The boy? You mean he was a part of...
Nobody can stop him all over the world. Up and down like monkeys. Perfect, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you'd been with me, you should have noticed. Empty cabin on the ship with grease stains on a pillow. But Salvori is bald. We better buy some shampoo for that kid, by the way.
He was aboard that ship.
Yeah, he saw the captain go ashore to meet Salvori and Lefty. Saw the murder. Then he broke out and got away.
George, let me talk to him. This ridiculous business of writing notes...
Oh, sure, he'll talk now. Just been scared to death, that's all. And all he wanted was to be happy. He was expecting to be happier than he'd ever been before.
George, if you don't stop playing clairvoyant...
Well, the captain's the only one who could have brought the kid. Therefore, made him afraid, made him run ashore. Therefore, Brooksy, the skipper was it. Well, don't you remember how the kid reacted when I asked him to go to a football game, just puzzled?
George, he is writing.
Sure, sure he is. Gives me more time to look the words up in the dictionary.
Hello, Mamselle. Oh!
Sure, Angel, that's why I wouldn't talk before. He wants to stay in this country. Afraid we'd find him out. He's from Marseille. He's French.
Oui, Marseille. Mais j'aime l'Amérique. Et monsieur, il dit que... Hey!
French. Here, give me the pencil. And the dictionary. You think you could stand a turkey dinner, George?
Turkey? Oui.
You see? One language. Oh, I guess it is Thanksgiving, isn't it? And now we got a pilgrim on our hands, Angel. A hungry little pilgrim.
Tonight, earlier in the program, you heard how road tests jibed with laboratory results in the development of new RPM motor oil. You have been taken step by step along the path followed by our scientists in bringing you this new oil years ahead of its time. From the first survey to determine what the ideal motor oil should be, through the ultimate proof in an automobile engine, you've heard the new RPM story firsthand. Now discover it yourself, firsthand. It's sold with a money-back guarantee of satisfaction at standard stations and independent Chevron gas stations, where they say and mean, we take better care of your car. Tonight's adventure of George Valentine has been brought to you by Standard Oil Company of California on behalf of independent Chevron gas stations and standard stations throughout the West. Robert Bailey is starred as George with Virginia Gregg as Brooksy. Let George Do It is written by David Victor and Jackson Gillis and directed by Don Clark. Wally Mayer is Lieutenant Riley. Alan Reed was heard as Stogue. Dick Ryan as Sniffy. Anthony Barrett as Salvori. Jeffrey Silver as Shorty, and Stephen Chase as the Doctor. The music is composed and presented by Eddie Dunstetter. Your announcer, John Heaston. Listen again next week, same time, same station, to Let George Do It. Your community chest helps care for homeless and neglected children in your own neighborhood. Community chest child care centers operate year-round. This year, make sure you give enough to your community chest to help all year. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
Cheese Company, who also bring you Bing Crosby every Thursday night, present each week at this time Harold Perry as The Great Gildersleeve, written by John Wheaton. We'll hear from The Great Gildersleeve in just a moment. You know, these days it's pretty difficult to get the variety of foods you used to get. That's why you should make the plentiful foods you can get as appetizing as possible. Now, one easy, economical way to make foods taste better is to use delicious parquet margarine at the table and for cooking, too. First of all, of course, parquet margarine is a perfectly delicious spread for bread or toast or rolls. And next, parquet margarine is a tasty seasoning for potatoes and all hot vegetables. Parquet margarine makes cookies and pastries taste better, too, because it's a real flavor shortening, not bland and tasteless as some shortenings are. And lastly, you'll find parquet adds tempting extra flavor to pan-fried foods. Yes, you can make everyday foods taste better when you use parquet. Remember, too, it's a nourishing energy food that contains vitamin A. So ask your dealer tomorrow for wholesome, economical parquet. P-A-R-K-A-Y. Parquet margarine made by Kraft. Well, let's get on to the Great Gildersleeve, who's been putting in a busy Saturday morning down at the water department trying to clear his desk of all the odds and ends that have piled up there. As we join him now, we find him almost down to the blotter and feeling pretty good about it.
Action, yes, action. That's the keynote today, Miss Fitch.
And you have accomplished a great deal this morning, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Yes, sir. Never put off till tomorrow what you can do today.
I try not to.
Procrastination is the thief of time.
There's a letter here.
Time and tide wait for no man.
This woman wrote in 2 weeks ago.
For want of a nail, the shoe was lost, Miss Fitch. Action, that's the thing, action.
Mr. Gildersleeve, are you going to answer this woman's letter?
What does she want?
Action.
Sure. Well, let's see the letter.
She says she wrote in 2 weeks ago and never got an answer.
Oh, yes, I remember this. Take an answer. Dear madam, in reply to your recent letter regarding a Neil in your bathtub, we wish to thank you for calling this to our attention. After a thorough investigation of the matter, we wish to report that it would have been impossible for the said eel to have gained access to your tub through the faucet. As all our water is carefully filtered, and furthermore, standard plumbing fixtures are too small to accommodate a Neil of the dimensions you describe. We can only suggest that the creature either crawled up the drain, in which event your attorney should get in touch with the Department of Public Works, not us. Or possibly it was placed in your tub by an enemy. While it's out of our department, we'd suggest that a stopper kept in the tub at all times should prove an effective precaution against eels in the future. Failing which, we'd advise a closer check on your friends. Very truly yours, Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve, Water Commissioner. You got that?
Yes, Mr. Gildersleeve.
That ought to hold her. What's next?
Well, I don't know whether you want to do anything about this.
Let's have it. Action, Miss Fitch. Let's clear the decks here.
Very well.
This is no time for bottlenecks.
No.
You'll notice that in every photograph of Donald Nelson, there's not a single paper on Donald Nelson's desk. That's the only way to be an executive. Do it now. Strike while the iron is hot. Come, come, come. What have you got there?
A 6-month reminder from your dentist.
Ew. Well, suppose you put that in the deferred file.
That's where it came from.
You're a hard woman, Miss Tess. All right, call up the dentist and make an appointment for Monday.
Good.
For Leroy. Come on, let's get on here. Time's a-wasting. Hey, have you got the application for my B gas ration?
Yes, it's right here.
Oh, I must remember to get that in this afternoon.
It's all filled out. All you have to do is sign it.
I better check it over. Let's see here. It says, occupational use of the vehicle. If vehicle is used for driving between home and fixed place of work in the principal occupation as stated in items 4 and 6 above, answer all questions in part A below. If vehicle is used in the performance of the principal occupation stated in items 4 and 6 above... Oh, brother, I'll take your word for it, Miss Fitch.
You also have to get the signatures of any person sharing the ride with you.
Oh, well, Judge Hooker is my share of the rider, but he isn't speaking to me. He can darn well sign, though.
I understand very few people are going to get the B rations.
Oh, I'll get one, all right. After all, I'm a city official. I have to do a lot of official driving. I'm entitled to one if anybody is.
Yes, but have you heard who's head of the ration board now?
It doesn't make any difference. Who?
Judge Hooker.
Judge Hooker. Oh, my goodness. If Hooker will find some technicality. He'll block it if he has to stage a filibuster. Maybe I better invite the old goat to Thanksgiving dinner after all.
That might soften him up a little.
Yes, certainly. Mm-hmm. He couldn't accept a man's hospitality and then trick him out of his B card, could he?
I don't recall that the application form covers that.
No, I didn't think so. Quiet. Here comes the old sourball now. Well, hello there, Judge.
When does the bus leave, Gildersleeve?
Yeah, the bus leaves whenever you're ready, Judgy.
I'm ready now.
Be right with you. Can't keep a customer waiting, can we, Miss Fitch? I'll get my hat and coat.
Mr. Gildersleeve, you're not forgetting.
Oh, yes. Thank you. While you're waiting, Judge, Miss Fitch has an application blank there that requires your signature. A mere formality, you know.
What's this?
Just to show that I'm sharing my car with you.
Oh, so you're applying for a B ration book, huh?
Aren't we all? Give the judge a pen, Miss Fitch. Here, oh, use mine. It's a self-filler. I think you'll like it. There, that's it.
There you are.
Thank you, Judge. Well, see you Monday, Miss Fitch. Oh, by the way, Horace, I meant to ask you before. I hope you'll give us the pleasure of dining with us as usual on Thursday.
I thought you'd forgotten all about Thanksgiving.
Not at all. Thanksgiving wouldn't be Thanksgiving without you, Horace. You know that.
Stand still, Leroy, now while I fit this.
I feel like a sissy in this fool outfit.
This is the kind of clothes the Pilgrims wore. And they were no sissies.
Yeah, but they didn't have to wear them in front of a whole auditorium full of people.
Stand still, will you, before I jab you with this pin.
Courtship of Miles Standish.
Why don't you speak for yourself, John?
Yeah.
Oh!
I told you you'd get stuck. You know, I think you're going to look real cute when I get this down.
That's just what I'm afraid of. That's what the whole school is going to think.
Leroy, will you stand still?
It wouldn't have been so bad if I was Miles Standish. I'd get to wear a helmet. But John Alden, that panty waist. I'm lucky the teacher didn't make me play Priscilla.
I don't see why you feel that way. John Alden is a hero. Remember, it's John Alden who gets the girl.
Yeah, Ethel Hammerschlager can have her.
Hello, Uncle Mort.
Well, hello, Marjorie. And Leroy.
Hello.
Well, look at our little pilgrim.
Hey, Marge, can't I take this off now?
No, wait till I get it pinned.
You know your lines yet, young man?
Some of them.
Well, it's about time. You've been rehearsing that part for a month.
I've been trying to get out of it for a month.
That's no attitude to take. The Courtship of Miles Standish is great literature. I studied it in school myself. I remember it to this very day. This is the forest primeval, the murmuring pines and the hemlocks.
That's Evangeline, Uncle Mort.
Well, that's good, too. Let's hear you recite that speech you were having trouble with last night, Leroy.
No, I don't want to.
Come on now, I want to see if you've learned it.
Oh, some other time, Uncle.
No, right now. I'd like to hear it. We both would. Wouldn't we, Marjorie?
We'd love to.
No, I won't do it. Not if she's going
to
listen.
Young man, you'll recite that speech or you'll go right upstairs to your room.
Okay.
We're waiting.
Let's see. Prithee, Mistress Priscilla, turn not a deaf ear to the suit of one who, though absent yet,
Yet loves thee with a noble and undying passion. Go back and try it again.
Well, I have to?
Yes. If you don't keep at it, you'll never learn the part.
If I don't learn the part, maybe we won't have to do it.
You'll do it, or I'll know the reason why. Come on now, once more.
Prithee, mithras. Prithee, mithras. I can't say it.
You're not trying. Prithee, mithras, Prithil. Now you've got me doing it. Oh, Bertie, I want to talk to you. Leroy, you go up to your room and practice.
Darn old Miles Standish anyway.
Quiet, you. Bertie, I've invited Judge Hooker to Thanksgiving dinner. So that'll mean one more.
That'll mean five more.
If what?
Yes, I hope you don't mind, Uncle Mort. I invited four of the boys from Camp Fuller.
Oh, well, fine. The more, the merrier. Thanksgiving isn't Thanksgiving unless there are plenty around to enjoy the turkey.
Speaking of turkey, Mr. Gilsley.
Yes, Bertie?
You wouldn't want to buy a chance on one, would you, I don't suppose?
What do you mean, Bertie?
Well, the ladies at my church is holding a turkey raffle.
Again? All right, I'll buy a chance. How much are they?
25 cents. That's for one.
One chance. There you are. There's a quarter.
Thank you. Most everybody around here has bought one from me. All the neighbors.
Well, you're doing fine.
Of course. If you used to buy two chances, it stands to reason you'd have twice as good a chance as they have.
No getting around that, Bertie. All right, I'll take two.
Mr. Gilsleeve, you're making no mistake. Turkey's awful expensive this year.
Yes, I know, Bertie.
48 cents a pound at day one grocery.
Oh, brother.
Yeah. So if even you used to buy three chances, you'd still be ahead.
Sold, Bertie. Make it three.
Yes, sir. Let's see now. How many is it going to be for dinner?
Well, there's Marjorie and Leroy and Judge Hooker and Mrs. Ransom and the four soldiers and you, Bertie. That makes nine.
And you, that makes 12.
Yes. Yes, me.
That's going to take a big turkey.
Well, maybe we should order one right away and ask him to hold it for us.
Well, let's wait and see how this raffle comes out first, Marjorie. We don't want to be stuck with two turkeys, you know.
Of course, they've sold quite a lot of chances on it. You've only got three.
Bertie, if you can guarantee I'll get the turkey, I'll take five chances.
Well, I can't promise nothing. But my cousin's doing the drawing.
I'll take five.
Well, that'd be a dollar and a quarter.
That's right. Well, here's another dollar.
That's quite a lot of money.
Yes, it is.
A dollar and a quarter will buy a lot of things.
Don't I know it.
You wouldn't like to take a couple more chances just to protect your investment.
You get out of here, Bertie, before you ruin me. I got to get down to the ration board. Look at that crowd. Pardon me. Could somebody tell me whether this is where you get B-ration books?
No, this is where you don't get them.
Wise guy. Madam, would you mind...
You can't shove in here.
I'm not trying to shove in.
End of the line.
End of the line. I've been waiting here since 2 o'clock and you come trying to shove in.
Yeah.
Madam, I was merely trying to ask a civil question.
End of the line, bud.
Just a minute. Who do you think you're pushing?
Well, who do you think you're pushing?
Well, who do you think you're pushing? By George, if you weren't wearing glasses...
Well, I'll take them off. There.
You look worse. Put them back on.
What's the fuss here? What's the fuss?
He tried to shove in ahead of me.
I did not.
He did, too, and he squeezed my hand.
Oh! Now, look here, my good woman.
We'll have to ask for order here, my friend. Why don't you just take your place in the line?
I'm trying to find out whether this is the right line. I've come for my B-ration book.
Oh, you've come for it, huh?
Yes. I have my application right here.
You and 100 million others.
What? Young man, evidently you don't know who I am. I happen to be Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve, and I have to do a lot of driving.
Where to?
Well, out to the reservoir.
The reservoir? What for?
See if there's anything in it.
Yeah? Listen, brother, if we gave a ration book to everybody who wants to drive out to the reservoir for a little necking in the moonlight...
I don't do any necking in the moonlight.
Oh, you like it in the dark?
Yeah. No! And I didn't come here to be insulted by underlings.
End of the line, bud.
Yes, end of the line.
Oh, shut up!
Yeah,
oh, Judge, I want you to tell this young whippersnapper here where he gets off.
Well, now, Gildy.
He has the nerve to tell me I'm not entitled to a B-ration book.
Well, he may be right, Gildy. You're only sharing the ride with one person.
You can't throw those technicalities at me, Hooker. You're the share of my rider. You signed this application yourself.
I know that, Gildy. As a share of the rider, I'd be delighted to see you get your ration book. But as a ration official, I couldn't possibly pass this application. My conscience wouldn't allow it.
All right, Judge. As a ration official, you needn't bother to come to Thanksgiving dinner. And as a share of the rider, from now on, you can walk.
End of the line.
Oh, you can have your old line.
The great Gildersleeve will be with us again in just a few seconds. If you're troubled with a food budget that's hard to keep in line these days, just remember this. There are any number of wholesome, good-tasting, nutritious foods that can help you keep your food budget down. Now, one such food, surely, is Parquet Margarine, Kraft's delicious spread for bread, because it's good-tasting, economical, and nutritious. Parquet Margarine's flavor is something pretty special. Thousands know it as the margarine that tastes so deliciously good. And just as important, Parquet Margarine is an economical source of food elements that your family needs. Yes, wholesome, nourishing Parquet Margarine is one of the best energy foods you can serve. And year-round, every pound of Parquet contains 9,000 units of important vitamin A. Yes, it's wise to economize with Parquet Margarine. It's delicious, nutritious, and thrifty. So buy Parquet Margarine tomorrow. Just ask your food dealer for Parquet, P-A-R-K-A-Y, Parquet. The margarine that's made by Kraft. Now back to Summerfield at the Great Gildersleeve. Apparently, he'll get no more gas than the rest of us, but what about turkey? It's Tuesday afternoon now, only 2 days before Thanksgiving. We find our hero checking last-minute details with Marjorie.
What about those four soldiers, my dear? Are you sure they're coming?
Oh, yes. I had a note this morning from their commanding officer. They'll arrive at 12 o'clock sharp in a jeep.
A jeep?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, brother, what an appetite they'll have. I'll have to run around the house a couple of times to get myself up to concert pitch. Can't let the boys show me up at my own table.
I don't think you need to worry about that, Uncle Mort.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess we're all set. Soldiers accepted. Hooker canceled. Mrs. Ransom. Mrs. Ransom's coming, isn't she?
Well, you invited her, didn't you?
No, I thought you'd take care of that. You're the lady of the house.
Oh, but I thought you'd want to. Oh, dear. And I went over there this morning to borrow a roasting pan for the turkey and never said a word about it. What must she think?
Oh, this is terrible. This is awful. I'll run over there right now. Serves right. She's made other plans. A fine thing. Borrow a woman's roaster and then not invite her to dinner. Oh, my goodness.
Mr. Gildersleeve.
Leela, I've come to explain.
I don't know what there is to explain, I'm sure.
May I come in?
Well, I'm rather busy.
Just for a moment.
Well?
Leela, of course you're coming to Thanksgiving dinner Thursday.
Well, I'm hardly in the habit of going to places to which I've not been invited, Mr. Gildersleeve.
But you are invited. You've been invited all along. There was a mix-up, that's all. I thought Marjorie had asked you, and Marjorie thought I had.
How do I know? How do I know you're not just inviting me for my roasting pan?
Leela, when I thought of inviting you, nothing was further from my mind than a roasting pan.
Oh, you say those things, but you don't mean them.
It's the truth. You were the first one on my list, Leela.
Was I, Throckmorton? Sure enough.
Yeah, sure enough.
Oh, but I'm afraid I couldn't accept at this late date. You see, I've had all these other invitations.
Oh?
If I turn them down now, I know they'd be heartbroken, much as I'd like to have dinner with you.
We're having a 20-pound turkey.
I love turkey, but I'm afraid I can't.
I'll save you the white meat.
No, don't tempt me now.
I'll save you the wishbone. We can make a wish on it.
What would you wish, Throckmorton?
I'm not supposed to tell you.
Well, I don't know that I could trust you with a wishbone. And anyway, I've promised these other people.
But you've got to come, Leela. Marjorie and Leroy will be terribly disappointed if you don't. And so will I. So will Bertie. And so will the Army.
The Army?
Yes, we're having four young lieutenants to dinner, too.
Throckmorton, why in the world didn't you say so?
You mean you'll come?
Will I?
You're too good to me, Leela.
What did she say, Uncle Mort?
She's coming with bells on.
I wouldn't put it past her.
Uncle Mort, can I borrow your shotgun?
No, Leroy, certainly not. Why?
I'm supposed to bring a gun to school tomorrow.
What kind of a school are they running? A reform school?
no. Miles Standish has got to have a blunderbuss.
A blunderbuss.
Here's your pilgrim suit, Leroy. I pressed the collar, so don't mess it up.
Oh, put it on, Leroy, and show Uncle Mort how nice it looks, not finished.
Oh, no.
Go ahead. You look real nice in it.
I look like a sissy in it.
You look better than you do in that Mickey Mouse sweatshirt you wear all the time.
Yeah, and cleaner, too. Put on the pilgrim suit, Leroy.
Oh,
Your sister worked hard on it. It won't do you any harm to put it on once. Go ahead.
Okay. I'd like to meet that guy Longfellow.
Yeah. Well, Bertie, you think we're going to have enough turkey for all these people Thursday?
I don't know, Mr. Gilsleeve.
Let's see now. We've got four soldiers and the four of us here and Mrs. Ransom.
What about Judge Hooker?
Judge Hooker is an ungrateful old goat. Never mention his name in this house.
Excuse me. I didn't know it was like that again.
There'll be eight of us at dinner. And you know the way soldiers eat. You think we ought to figure on two turkeys?
I don't know, Mr. Gilsleeve. I don't know what we ought to do.
What's the matter, Bertie? You seem to be sort of dragging today.
I don't know. I don't guess I feel so good.
Out a little late last night?
No, sir. No later than usual. I just got a feeling, that's all.
What kind of a feeling?
Like things wasn't going to work out somehow.
Oh, well, don't let it get you down. By the way, when are they going to raffle off that turkey I bought all those chances on?
Yes, we can't wait much longer to find out about that. Thanksgiving's only 2 days off.
I was thinking, Mr. Gilsleeve, how would it be if we had a nice ham instead of a turkey?
Bertie, are you hiding something from us?
No, sir, I ain't hiding nothing. Except they had that raffle last night.
Oh.
You came close, Mr. Gilsleeve. You came mighty close. The winning number was 61 and you had 62.
But it still leaves us without a turkey.
Well, sort of.
Oh, well, if you gamble, you have to expect those things.
We better order a turkey right away, though.
Yes, we can't invite all those soldiers to come 20 miles for Thanksgiving dinner and have no Thanksgiving dinner.
Well, I'll go call up the market and reserve one.
That's just the trouble.
What do you mean?
I called up the market and all the turkeys is reserved.
You mean they won't sell us one?
Butcher says there ain't a turkey left in Summerfield. I don't know what's the matter. Last week, no pot roast. This week, no turkey.
We've got to have a turkey. We've invited all these soldiers. We've invited Mrs. Ransom. We've got to find one.
But where?
Don't ask me.
All right, Unc. How do you like it?
Like what?
The pilgrim suit.
Oh, forget the pilgrim suit. We just lost our turkey.
No turkey?
No turkey.
How do you like that? Well, it looks like we'll all wind up eating turkey sandwiches at the drugstore. Yeah. Some Thanksgiving.
The drugstore. Maybe Peavy's got a turkey. Hold everything, kids. I'll be right back. I'm going to the drugstore.
Hello, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Peavy. Peavy, you've got to help me out.
Well, I'm always glad to do a customer service.
Good. Have you got a turkey?
What was that again?
Have you got a turkey?
A turkey? Well, now, I've had people come in here and ask for some strange things, but this is the first time I've ever had a request for a turkey.
But never mind that. Have you got one?
No, Mr. Gildersleeve. Turkeys are one thing that I don't carry. I'm sorry. Have you tried the meat market?
Of course I've tried the meat market. Why do you think I came in here?
I wondered.
Now, just a minute, Peavy. You serve turkey sandwiches at your soda fountain, don't you?
Yes, we do serve a turkey sandwich.
You can't make a turkey sandwich without a turkey, can you?
Well, now, I wouldn't say that.
In other words, Peavy, your turkey sandwich is not a turkey sandwich.
Well, turkey sandwich has become a sort of a trade expression, although we serve it with genuine cranberry jelly on the side.
But suppose you don't care for cranberry jelly.
Yeah, then you just ask for the regular chicken sandwich.
Yes, sir. Peavy, I'm surprised at you. I don't know how you can sleep nights.
Well, I did used to have a little trouble, but I just take a cup of hot cocoa before going to bed now, and I find that sets me right. So does Mrs. Peavy.
Well, this isn't finding a turkey. I got to get going. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. Gildersleeve. Have a nice Thanksgiving.
And same to you. Don't drink too much cocoa. And don't let Mrs. Peavy.
Any luck, Uncle Mort?
Not a bit, my dear. I've been everywhere. It's no use. The Army's picked the place clean. There's not a single turkey left.
Maybe I should warn those boys at camp. They'll do better if they stay there.
Yes. Wait. There's just one chance left.
What's that?
If we can find out who won the turkey in Bertie's raffle, we might be able to buy it from him. Yes, Bertie.
Yes, Mr.
Gill, please?
Would you mind coming in here?
Yes, sir.
Bertie, do you know who won that turkey in your raffle?
No, sir.
Do you think you could find out?
Well, sir, I might be able to. Then again, I might not.
What do you mean by that?
Well, if I was to find out who won, you might not like it.
Come clean, Bertie. What bush are you beating about now? You know who won the turkey?
Yes.
Well, why didn't you say so? Who is it?
Well, you said never to mention Judge Hooker's name.
Oh!
I told you you wasn't going to like it.
Well, there goes our only chance.
Uncle Moore, don't you think Judge Hooker would be willing to let you have it?
After what I told him down at the ration board? No, my dear, I really gave him a piece of my mind there.
But if you took it all back and invited him to dinner again?
When he's got the turkey, he'd just laugh at me. Wait a minute. Bertie?
Yes?
Does Judge Hooker know yet that he's won the turkey?
No, sir. I'm supposed to deliver it to him this evening.
Excuse me, folks. I gotta see a judge about a bird. Horace? I've come to ask your forgiveness.
You come to the wrong place, Gildersleeve.
That's a cruel attitude, Judge, but I don't blame you for taking it.
You behave like a boor, Gildersleeve.
You're right, a big boor. In front of a whole lot of people, too.
Yeah.
I could kick myself when I think of it.
Well, yeah, we all fly off the handle sometimes.
There was no excuse for it, doing a thing like that to my old friend.
Well, Gildy, of
course. Horace, you may think me a sentimental old fool, but we've been pals for a good many years now, haven't we? Off and on.
Yes, Gildy, we have. Off and on.
And we've always had Thanksgiving dinner together, haven't we?
Yeah, I guess that's right.
Well, I want you to have it with us again this year.
You really mean that?
Horace, I've said it before, and I mean it now more than ever. If you don't come to Thanksgiving dinner, it just won't be Thanksgiving dinner.
I'll certainly be delighted to come.
Good. Don't forget now.
I won't.
We'll be counting on you.
I'll be there. What time would you like to have me come?
Oh, come early, Judge. Come about 9 o'clock in the morning.
9 o'clock?
Yeah. And when you come, would you mind bringing that turkey you won in the raffle, Judge?
I've got to be going. But it's been a mighty pleasant day.
Oh, stick around, Judge. The evening's young yet.
No, I've got to get an early start in the morning. But I don't know when I've had a finer Thanksgiving.
Well, it was your turkey, Judge.
Well, I share my turkey, you share your car. That's the spirit today.
Yeah, and the good spirit, too. It brings people together, Judge.
Yes, it does, Gildy. I'm sorry we had that misunderstanding down at the ration board. As a matter of fact, you're probably entitled to a B ration. You use your car for official business.
Well, I don't want a B-book.
What?
No, I've been thinking about it, Horace. It seems to me the spirit of rationing is to get along with as little as you can, instead of grabbing all you can get.
You're absolutely right, Gildy. And I'm glad to hear you say it. You're a credit to the community.
Well, thank you, Horace. And you may rest assured that even though I've only a humble A-ration, my car will still be at your service at all times.
You mean that, Gildy?
I do, indeed.
That's fine. I've got to meet a train at Moore's Junction at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. Good night, Gildy.
Yeah. Good night, everybody.
Original music heard on this program was composed and conducted by Billy Mills. This is Ken Carpenter speaking for the Kraft Cheese Company and inviting you to tune in again next week for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve. Thank you.
Ladies, when you want to make good macaroni and cheese, get a package of Kraft Dinner. This wonderful product is really an answer to a housewife's prayer for an easy and quick-to-make main dish. It takes only 7 minutes cooking time to fix delicious macaroni and cheese with Kraft Dinner. Put the macaroni that's in the package into boiling water and cook rapidly for 7 minutes. In just that short time, you have fluffy, tender macaroni all ready for the cheese goodness. So you take the package of Kraft Grated, which comes with Kraft Dinner, and sprinkle it on the macaroni, stirring the delicious cheese flavor through and through. That's all there is to it. Your macaroni and cheese is ready to be served. And once you've prepared it this way, you'll never want to go back to the old-fashioned way of baking it. Not when Kraft Dinner gives you such tempting macaroni and cheese in just 7 minutes. Why not try it tomorrow? Just ask your dealer for a package of Kraft Dinner. It's so convenient, so economical, and so good. This program reached you from Hollywood. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.